Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. I'm glad you're here. Dave Kansas is with us, ladies and gentlemen. He's editor-at-large of FiLife.com. I think that's how you pronounce that. He's also the author of the new book, Guide to the End of Wall Street as We Know It, the Wall Street Journal's Guide to the End of Wall Street as We Know It. And he's our new friend, Dave Kansas. Welcome to the show.
Great to be here.
It's good to have you here. Dave, your book is titled Guide to the End of Wall Street as We Know It, so I'm assuming that that's not a canard, that you actually believe that we're watching the end of Wall Street as we know it.
Jim, yeah, I mean, I think we've already seen a lot of that change. I mean, if you go back just to September of 2008 and that one week that kind of really changed the Wall Street that we knew.
Yep.
Merrill Lynch went away to Bank of America, Lehman Brothers failed. AIG went on the government dole.
It was nationalized, yeah.
Washington Mutual got rescued by J.P. Morgan. Wachovia started looking for a buyer. And Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley re-registered as bank holding companies. And to me, that's kind of changed the landscape quite dramatically just in one week. So you can kind of say we've already entered into a new era of Wall Street going just back to September.
2008, from a standpoint of capitalism, 2008 will be a year in infamy, won't it?
It will definitely be a year in infamy, and you know how infamous it becomes, I think, will be determined by the policy making that we're still watching unfold from Washington. But yeah, it's definitely a period that will live in infamy. The result of supreme overconfidence and a lot of other things, but it led to a great mess that has involved the government in our financial system and economy in a way that nobody could have anticipated, say, back in 2007.
In unprecedented ways, because even in the Great Depression, most of these companies you just described were in existence and were operated through the Depression.
That's correct. Most of them.
I mean, so in some ways, yeah. That what we're going through right now is unprecedented, even in Great Depression terms.
That's correct. I think, you know, the scale and scope of the things we're seeing are, in terms of intervention from the government, is unprecedented. We aren't quite yet at a spending level of intervention, though we're getting pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
But
in terms of percentage of GDP
intervention, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because here's a question for you. It is. We are watching the end of Wall Street as we know it now. But see, Wall Street. You know, companies come and go. I'm not concerned about companies and so much, although all five major investment banks going away in 1 year, four in 1 week almost, that is pretty shocking. I'm more concerned with what we may be, another thing we may be watching, and I don't think it's too much, I don't think it's hyperbole to ask this question. Are we also watching the end of capitalism? What do you think about that, Dave?
You know, I don't believe that we are seeing the end of capitalism.
But isn't that a question that's fair to ask right now?
It is. Unfortunately, uncomfortably, it is a question that is fair to ask. When you look at the debate going on about whether or not to say, for instance, to nationalize the big bank Citigroup and Bank of America, when you look at the way the stimulus program that was passed is designed in terms of its involvement in lots of different businesses and industries, I mean, it is a question that one could ask, because the issue is the government's definitely getting involved, and the question is, how will that evolve? Will it be more involvement, or will they back off?
Well, see, that's the question I've been asking for some time, since a year ago, about a year ago, is, you know, a year ago, the camel stuck its nose under the tent.
Mm-hmm.
Now the camel is all the way inside the tent,
mm-hmm.
and the government being the camel.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, how do we get the camel out of the tent? Now that we've got it in, as much as we know how much politicians love control. I mean, you know, you got a lot of politicians in our government. This is like a candy and ice cream time for them. I mean, they get to tinker around with things that they've always felt that they were smarter about than the marketplace. And how do we get this camel out of our tent, Dave?
Well, I think the most important thing one can do is to try to point to history of the last, 60 years, countries that really got involved in their economies, whether it be the maximum involvement of, say, state-controlled economies in communist Eastern Europe and Russia, Soviet Union, or even the heavy socialism of Western Europe. That just didn't work.
Right.
It ultimately didn't work over time, and that needs to be stressed. Situations where capitalistic countries got involved temporarily, like Sweden in 1990 did get involved temporarily, but then got out quickly after rescuing their banks. Or Hong Kong, which is one of the most capitalistic cultures around, in 1997 during the Asian financial crisis, they got involved in their stock market directly, but then they got right back out. So
yeah.
That's ideally the template that will be followed. This will be seen as an emergency situation that needs to be very temporary, but there will be great temptation among the politicians, and it will be up to the people.
Yeah.
To try to make them understand history, make sure that they don't get into the candy and ice cream too heavily.
Well, even if they do back out, mm-hmm. what I'm concerned with is that the residual that they're going to leave is regulation that's going to prevent the markets from recovering.
Well, that's the next big chapter in this, Jim. Is there's going to be a big debate in Washington about what kind of regulatory framework to have, because I think people think the past regulatory framework wasn't effective for various different reasons.
Yep.
And it's important that be smart as opposed to heavy. Just being heavy isn't going to help us coming out on the other side. Being smart, having good cops, having smart enforcement of the rules,
yep.
That's not a bad thing. We've had it throughout our history. So the key will be whether it's smart or heavy, and I think that's going to be a very important debate to watch.
But if the regulation is to the point where they try to regulate morality and they try to regulate risk, then it won't be successful.
I think that's correct. If you try to regulate morality or you try to regulate risk, you eliminate the taking of risk, and you need mm-hmm. to take risk in order to get return, in order to build businesses, to expand a small business, to take risk to start a new idea. If there's too much of the heavy hand, those things will be, squelched in the beginning stage, and that's a huge risk that we need to focus on.
I've seen that in Europe. In talking to business owners in Europe, I've seen what you just described, the potential danger. If you want to see it, folks, working right now live, and you can go to Europe and talk to business owners, and you can see it. 20 after, Dave Kanzas is our guest. His book is called Guide to the End of Wall Street. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate, and little Booker T, the MGs. I think that's called Time is Tight, as I remember. And we're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance. We hope you'll go there and use it to your advantage. We have our newsletter is there. You can subscribe to it. My blog is there. My knowledge base is there. Thousands of interviews and archives of past visits with our really smart Brain Trust members, like our new Brain Trust member, Dave Kanzas, who's with us right now. All that's there, and also articles that I've written and my Brain Trust members have written. You got 5 seconds? We got something for you. You got 30 seconds? We got something for you. You got 1 minute, 15 minutes? We got something for you. Check it out when you get a chance, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Dave Kanzas is with us. He's the author of The Guide to... The Wall Street Journal Guide to the End of Wall Street as We Know It. Dave, your website is FiLife, FiLife.com, right?
That's correct.
And tell us about it.
It's a personal finance website. It's half owned by Dow Jones, which owns the Wall Street Journal, and it's personal finance tools, information, and conversation aimed at helping people sort out their personal financial situation.
Who owns the other half?
The other half is owned by a company called IAC, which is owned or controlled by Barry Diller. They own a bunch of internet sites like Match.com
mm-hmm.
and Ask.com and that kind of thing.
Of course. The book is available at bookstores. We actually went out and bought this book, Dave.
Well, I appreciate it, and so does the family.
We get a lot of books here, but we actually bought this book. I wanted this book soon when it came out. I saw that it was available, and we bought it, and I've been poring over it. Congratulations, folks. You want to check out this book. It'll reveal a lot of things to you, and it's in plain English too, Dave. Congratulations, and thank you for that. For those of us whose lips get tired when we read, you know, we need things in plain English. Thank you for that.
Well, no problem. You know, Wall Street likes to gobbledygook it up, so I like to try to straighten it out so
there you go.
Can understand
there, it. There you go. The for some time now, Dave, I've been saying, and I mean several years, I've been saying Wall Street was working at cross purposes to Main Street, and I didn't know. I had my reasons for saying that 3, 4, 5 years ago, but and my folks, you've heard me say that on the show before, but I didn't know how correct I was. I didn't know how bad it was going to get. What do you think?
Well, I think that's true. I think for one, Wall Street has funneled a lot of money to a lot of its top folks in kind of disregard to trying to help businesses grow. And I think that's been a negative thing for Main Street. Mm-hmm. And I also think that Wall Street, you know, with its short-term focus, has lost sight of some of the things that really matter for...
Devotion to the quarterly earnings.
That's right. That's right. And I think that's been something that has been... problematic for Main Street, because that short-termism is not a good way to build a sustainable business.
Well, that's exactly right, and that's the main thing I've been saying, folks. You've heard me say before that the quarterly earnings report is one of the worst things that has happened to I think to capitalism. I think it's helped to contribute to where we are today. What do you think, Dave?
Well, I think that's true, because if you think about, you know, if you're trying to build a good business, a sustainable business, the idea that every few months you have enough information or enough of a relationship with your customers to really tell the tale is a little misleading. I think that the other thing to think about is really what are investors focused on? They're focused on what your company is going to earn over a period of time, and to try to focus on the short term often means a mad race at the end of the quarter to stuff sales or to cut a deal or do other things that may not be wise in terms of building a long-term relationship with your customer base. And really what benefits a business is a long-term and sustainable relationship with the customer base. And that's something that's a story that's told over the course of many quarters, not just a single quarter. And mm-hmm. I think that quarterly focus can kind of distort what really makes a good business function and operate.
One of the things that's going on right now is everybody's worried about about Wall Street. Everybody's worried about the big banks and everything. Very little attention is being given to the real backbone of the economy, Dave, and that's small business owners who are out there every day just duking it out, just one step at a time, putting, you know, one little inch at a time. They're moving forward. And what everybody's missing, including President Obama, including our Congress now, with all the times that small business was invoked during the election, it's as if we don't even exist anymore. What do you think?
Well, I think that's right. I mean, the focus has been on everything from the big banks to the big automakers and big companies, and I think that not enough attention has been paid to what is the heart of the economy. Small business, there are more jobs created, there are more opportunities created in the small business sector than all the big companies. That's really the entrepreneurial engine. And you started to see a little bit written about it. I think it was Thomas Friedman in the New York Times was talking about we need to unleash the risk takers, small business owners. And I think there needs to be more noise like that, because too much attention is being paid to the big movers and not enough attention paid to the real engine of economic growth. And when you think about all the interference and potential regulatory heavy hand coming out of Washington, that's something that really in particular affects small business, because they don't have a lot of wiggle room to try to make things grow. They're just pushing it inch by inch, you know, and they need
by definition we're undercapitalized. Dave, we got a lot more to talk about. Will you come back another day?
You bet, Jim.
Thanks, I enjoyed having you here. The Guide to the End of Wall Street as We Know It by Dave Kansas, and folks, check it out. It's a good book. Dave Kansas will be back another day. We'll get him back and talk about this some more. 29 after. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.